Good evening, everyone. Night number two of our missions conference. Being a missionary, there's something that I have heard from time to time, and it goes along the lines of, I could never do what you do. And it's implying that a missionary might be someone special. Well, tonight I want to tell you a story that I hope will totally dissipate any thoughts that you might have about a missionary being someone who is special. Last night we shared just a little bit about how I met my beautiful wife, 6 weeks of college left, and then at the end of the summer right before I was getting ready to head into missionary training with New Tribes Mission, I was engaged to Nobeline Alohalani Spray. And we were going to get married the next year. I had already planned on going into missions training. So I went ahead and went out to Wisconsin, went through the training. I knew it was going to be approximately a year. After I was there in the boys' dorm for 3 months, I knew that when I got married, we were going to have to go through it all again. So I went to the staff and I said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and pull out now, go back and make a little bit of money before I get married, spend some time with Nobi, and then we'll come back in again next year after we get married. I made a huge mistake. On my way back from Missouri, I drove to Seattle, Washington, and spent a couple of weeks with Nobi. Now, that wasn't bad, but Nobi was kind of the darling of the church. They didn't know Bob Kennel, and they wanted to know what this guy was going to be like. Or were they going to let Nobi marry me or not? So the pastor of the church came up, and he said, Bob, you're a missions candidate. How would you like to speak in church on Sunday? And I thought, that is great. This will give me the chance to impress her mom and dad, impress the church body, and win over my wife that much more. So I said, sure, I would love to. And I spent that week in preparation for speaking in church on Sunday. I want you to know it's a Japanese congregation for the most part. There are some Caucasians, but the majority of the people there are very, very sweet, missions-minded Japanese people. And so Sunday morning rolls along. I go up and I stand up in front of the congregation and I start preaching my heart out. After 3 minutes, I've gone through the entire message. So I started over and I went back over it again. On the third time, after approximately 10 minutes, the perspiration is starting to run down my face. I'm looking out at the congregation, and things are starting to turn yellow. And then I start going into the weave, and things are going from yellow to black. And in total humiliation, I said, you guys, I'm very sorry, but either I'm going to sit down or I am going to pass out. And I remember this sweet Japanese man came up on the stage, took me by the hand, and walked me down to the front row. And I sat there, and someone else came up and finished the message off. At the end of the service, same sweet Japanese gentleman came up and said, Bob, let's go to the back of the church because everyone is going to want to shake your hand and thank you for the great job you did. I remember going to the back of the church and having to stand there and person after person coming by and saying, oh, Mr. Connor, that was a wonderful message. And I remember thinking, oh, you hypocrite, that was the worst thing you've ever heard in your life, and you know it. From there, Nobi and I did get married. I don't know why she did. I don't know why the church body allowed her to marry me. The
It was much worse.
Much worse. But we were married. We went into New Tribes training. And I remember we were placed in charge of this little store at our training center. And the first couple of weeks were there. I'm called upon to stand up and just give an announcement about the store. And I stand up and I couldn't talk. I could not get words out. And we went home that day, and I went over to Nobi, and I said, this is it. I am done. I'm supposed to be a missionary, and I can't even talk to give an announcement, much less stand up in front of people and preach the gospel. I said, I'm done. And I went over to one of our staff members. I told him, I'm through. My wife and I are pulling out. I cannot be a missionary. And I shared with him about what had happened in the church. Another mistake. He looked at me and he said, you know what, Bob? It's amazing what our pride does to us sometimes, isn't it? And I wanted to hit him right in the nose. But he was a staff member. I thought better of it. And we stayed on. But I want you to know something, you guys. For several years after that, every time I got up and talked, or if I had to pray in public, man, just my chest would tighten up, and I would get very, very much afraid. Brave missionary. Yeah, I could never do what you do. Let me tell you, you could. You definitely could do a much better job of it than I did in the early days of our missions career. And like my wife said, yes, it was much better than you could, much worse than you could possibly imagine. Okay. With that little background, I want to share with you some headlines from a newspaper down in Florida. And the headlines are from November 21st, 2012. This was in the Orlando Sentinel. I'm going to talk about a building that some of you may have seen if you've been on the Orlando corridor in between Daytona Beach and Tampa Bay, Florida. And it read, for more than a decade, the 18-story glass-covered office tower has sat unfinished along Interstate 4 in Altamont Springs. The sun bouncing off its distinctive curved top that resembles a sail. Officially called the Majesty Building, the tower is owned by Christian television station Super Channel 55, and it was first proposed as the station's new, larger headquarters. But over the years, progress on the pay-as-you-go project has been glacial. Work sped up when donations from viewers were coming in and ground to a halt when the flow of money waned. Follow-up article. This is November 2014. The article reads, there's still no word on when the famous Majesty Tower, nicknamed the Eyesore on I-4, will be finished, even though the work started 14 years ago. The most recent article on it said, in its 16th year of construction, the Majesty Building overlooking Interstate 4 in Altamont Springs still lacks interiors, structured parking, and site work. But a new plan could be on the way. My friends, this is sad. This is a building that was begun. Plans were laid out, but it never came to completion. There's another story that I want to read to you tonight that's even a little bit sadder. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Acts chapter 1. It's a story that I know that you are very, very familiar with. But it's another story that was begun, and it was begun well, but it never came to completion. The words that I'm going to be reading to you are very, very significant, because they are the last words that the Lord Jesus Christ uttered while he was on this earth. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. And it reads, "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.' And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" And you can just picture the disciples are there with Jesus on the Mount of Olives. They had no idea what was about to take place. And they're standing there, and right before their eyes, they see the Lord Jesus Christ start lifting up and going up into heaven. And I can just imagine them. If I was there, I'd be straining to see him as long as I could, to see this miracle that is taking place right before their eyes. And they see the Lord Jesus Christ taken up into heaven as they are standing there watching. And there's two angels that are standing by. And they said, "What are you guys doing?" "The Lord Jesus just gave you a task. And that task was to take the gospel message, first of all, to Jerusalem and to Judea and to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." The same story is unfolded in Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Okay. That took place 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth were, "Take the gospel to the ends of the earth." I want to ask you, how do you think we're doing? If you were going to give us a grade on the last command that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us, how would you say we're doing? I'm going to read you some statistics that are very, very, very sad. But this is the reality of how the church of Jesus Christ is doing in fulfilling the Great Commission. Thailand, the country where Nobi and I are living right now, is a country of 68 million people. 1.29% of 68 million people say they are Christians. Evangelical Christians number 0.51%. One half of 1% of 68 million people are believers in Jesus Christ. India, a country of 1.3 billion people, 2.1% say they are Christian. The number of evangelical Christians is actually 0% when you look at the entire population. Not even 1% of the country of India. Papua New Guinea, 7.8 million. It says that 96% claim that they are believers. Evangelicals, 22%. I've lived there for many years. I don't believe that's accurate. I believe that the number is actually much less. Indonesia, 260 million people. 12% claim to be Christian. Evangelicals, 3.7%. China, 1.3 billion people. 7.9% say they're Christians. Evangelicals, 6.24%. Mongolia, 3 million. There are 1.6% are evangelical believers. Russia, 142 million people. 1.2% evangelical believers. Laos, 7 million. Evangelicals, 2.4%. My friends, what does that do to you when you hear that? What does that do to you when you hear that? You see, we're living in the United States of America. We're living in this city. I don't know how many churches there are. I've heard of at least three good ones that I've heard about here, that maybe there's more. People here can attend church. People here can freely hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. What about some of these countries where there's less than 1% know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? I don't know what that does to you, but it makes me very sad, and it makes me think that the words that the Lord Jesus Christ stated when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know what? We're not doing very good. Nobi and I are living in Thailand. The Thai people are wonderful, just like the Burmese people, just like the Karen people are wonderful. But you know what? We walk down the streets and in every, just about every yard, there's a little spirit house where the people are trying to appease the spirits. They're trying to keep the evil spirits from coming into their houses and bothering them. And they bow down day after day after day to a golden image called Buddha. And the people, you know what? They don't care about hearing the gospel. I've gone, they've got a thing there that is called monk chat, and you can actually go and talk to monks in the Buddhist temples, and you can ask them about their beliefs. And I remember one thing we asked, what about creation? Can you tell us what the Buddhists believe about creation? You know what they said? They said, we don't know, and we don't care. Because all we're living for is right now. They're satisfied because they know if they don't make it in this life, there's reincarnation. They've got another chance. They'll be born again. And so they try to live good lives. But you know what? It's all about me. It's all about, I want my life now to be a good one. I want to be happy. I want to make money. I want to have a beautiful woman in my life. It's all about me. And if I do good things, if I do enough good things, my next life will be a good one. I might be a man. I might be a wealthy man if I live good enough. But they don't care about the gospel, because the God of this world, Satan, has blinded their hearts and their minds. There were two gentlemen in Acts chapter 4, 19 and 20 named Peter and John. They had been placed in jail. And do you know why they were put in jail? They were put in jail because they were preaching in the name of Jesus. They were put in jail, they were threatened, they were warned, they were commanded never again to speak in the name of Jesus. Do you know what their reply was? Acts 4, 19 and 20, but Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? And listen to this, we cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. We cannot stop. You can beat us. You can put us in jail. You can take our lives. But we want you to know right now, we cannot stop telling about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's given us a new life. They had something that I think the church has lost. They had a passion for people. They had a passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had a passion for making him known. Give yourself a grade. Give yourselves a grade right now. How are you doing? Do you have that same passion that the early church had? If someone would come up to you and say, I command you never again to speak in the name of Jesus, what would your response be? Okay, if it's jail, if it's imprisonment, if it's beating, yeah, I can keep quiet. Would that be your response? Or would it be like Peter and John? You can tie me up. You can beat me. You can do whatever you want. But I cannot stop sharing because Christ died for me. I belong to him. Is that what your heart is today? Paul wrote Galatians 2:20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Turn with me. We're going to read just a few more verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. These verses written by the Apostle Paul are for each and every one of us that is sitting right here, right now in this building, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a new person in Christ, then these verses are about you. Reading at verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this, this new life, is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us, Ridgeway, God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. We're ambassadors, ambassadors of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And the job that he gave us is to plead with sinners, come back to God. I shared with you last night about some of our time in Papua New Guinea. We were down in the tribe for 10 years. At the end of that time, my wife, she was allergic to the jungle. Our last year, she could not sleep laying down. She had to sleep in a semi-vertical position. And the Lord made it evident that we had to move out of the tribe. We moved up to Goroka. I went into a leadership role there for approximately 10 years. And being the chairman for a time of New Tribes Mission, we received an invitation. And it was an invitation to the chairman to come and represent our mission group because the son of the Queen of England was coming to Goroka, Papua New Guinea. And so I was invited to go and represent New Tribes for this very special occasion. Now, listen to this. It even gave the attire that we were supposed to wear. And it said, when you come to this thing, wear tropical casual. Okay, tropical casual, that's cool. My wife's Hawaiian. She dressed me. An aloha shirt. She gave me a beautiful flowered shirt to wear. Tropical casual. It fit. So I got in the car. I drove to town. I walk up to where everybody is coming into this place. And I want you to know, I was the only person there wearing a flowered shirt. Everyone else has got on a long sleeve shirt. It's 100 degrees, but they're wearing a long sleeve shirt and a tie. And I wanted to say, didn't you guys get the memo? Don't you know what we're supposed to be wearing? Tropical casual. You're kind of formal. And you guys, I honestly wanted to hide. I was at the end of this table and we sat there and they served this meal. And at the end of this time, the ambassador of the Queen of England, Prince Charles, starts walking down the middle aisle. And I'm at the end. What's that? Prince Andrew. Thank you. Thank you. Prince Andrew. And I'm at the end of the aisle, and I'm thinking the honorable thing would be to go over to the other end because I'm the only guy here wearing tropical casual. The prince starts coming down. Did I move? Absolutely no way. I stood my ground right there at the end. He comes up, and I think maybe he signaled me out because I was the only one dressed the way I was dressed. He came over, and he shook my hand, and he asked me a question. What do you do here? And I told him. We actually carried on a little conversation. You know what, you guys? I was honored. Because he was an ambassador. He was the son of the queen. He was royalty. But you know what? Tonight, we're in a building, we're in a room with royalty. Each one of you is a representative of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. I shook hands with Prince Charles. You know what? Prince Andrew. I shook hands with Prince Andrew. He doesn't know me. The Queen of England doesn't know me. He doesn't remember I had on that flowered shirt. But you know what? The Lord of the universe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords knows me. He knows me by name. And he knows you by name. And he's given you as his ambassador, as his representative, a job to do. And that job is to plead with sinners. Come back to God. That's our job, you guys. That's the task which the Lord Jesus Christ gave to us. When we were down in Bisorio, The tribe that we were living in, Bisorio, was an extremely primitive location. And so consequently, it was very popular for short-term mission groups to come down and visit us. And so we had several teams come in year after year. They'd want to come in and get in the boat and ride for the 10 hours up to Bisorio land. And we would sit there and try to give them as much exposure to missions as we could. And every time they would come, we would get our believers together and we'd come in our house and we'd have them sit down and we would let our believers share their testimonies with them. And I mean, they would do a fantastic job. But you know what? Group after group would come and a lot of them would say, thank you. Thank you for sharing. Bisorios, you've stirred our hearts. I want to come back. And team after team would say this. And finally, the Bisorio said, what's with these guys? Everybody says they want to come back and they want to be involved. They don't come back. So finally, another group came in and they said, and some of them, just like the others, said, we're going to come back here and we're going to work. They said, okay, there's a tree outside. I've got a knife. You carve your name on that tree. And before that tree falls, I want you to come back here. and you're carving your name is going to be your word that you will become involved with us in the task of world evangelization. There was one group came in, and I remember them very well. The Bisorios, just like normal, they came in and they are sharing their hearts. And they're saying, you guys, live for eternity. Live for something that counts. Come and give your lives. And the people are sitting there yawning and falling asleep. And they, honestly, it was just like they could care less. And finally, one little Bisorio man stood up. And he said, hey, I remember he was sitting off at the side, sitting on these steps in our house. We had a loft upstairs where we stored things. He's sitting over there at the side. And he said, you know what? He said, I'd like to say something. And we said, okay, now, what would you like to say? And first of all, I want you to know there's two things the Bisorios loved. They would go by our house. And if my wife was making popcorn, it was a magnet. They would want to come and get some popcorn. Even better than that was when she would make chocolate chip cookies. That was really a magnet. They loved that. So Nail gets up there and he says, I want to tell you what I think about the people of America. He said, I think you are like people that have got some delicious chocolate chip cookies. But the thing is, you take your cookies and you put them in your pantry. And they knew what our pantry was like. My wife had this little place off at the side of the kitchen where all the food was stored. They knew what went in there. And they said, you've got these delicious chocolate chip cookies. And you take them and you put them in your pantry. And there's people that are outside and they're hungry and they would love some of those cookies. To them, that's the best thing in the world. They would love some of those chocolate chip cookies. But do you know what you do? You wait when there's nobody around and you go in all by yourselves and you sit there and you eat those delicious cookies. And then you come back out and you act like nothing happened. And there's still all those people that are outside. And they would love to have some of those cookies. But you don't share them. And he said, you know what? That's what I think the people of America are like. You've got the answers. You've got education. You know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. But you know what? You're hiding the cookies. You don't share them with others. And there's a world that is dying and going into a Christless eternity. But you're eating the cookies by yourselves. I tell you, when Nao got through speaking, he had their attention. He had their undivided attention that night. I'm going to right now just play a testimony of one of my Bisorio heroes. He's a man named Tsuduama. He's an individual that after we presented the gospel, we're in our house and nighttime comes. There's a knock at the door. Went to the door and Tsuduama was there. And he said, Bob, he said, I just want you to know something. He said, God heart or the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me. And he's been telling me that he wants me to be a shepherd for the Bisorio people. And he wants me to take his word to the Bisorios that still haven't heard. He said, that's all. He said, I just wanted to share that with you. And he walked off into the night. Well, I tell you, my friends, he did that. He has gone miles and miles and miles throughout the jungles of Papua New Guinea. And he has discipled and he's taught and he's led person after person to Christ out in Bisorio land. Recently, We sat there and we recorded him, and he shared with us this testimony. If we could see this testimony, please. I'm going to play it, and it's all in Bisorio. You will not understand it, but afterwards I'm going to translate it for you, okay? Okay, this is a translation of what Tsunoma said. He said, in serving God on this ground, I don't have a large garden. I have almost no money, no nice shirts, no nice trousers. I don't have a nice string bag for carrying things, and it doesn't matter because I don't have anything to put in the string bag, even if I had one. I don't have nice things for my wife and my kids. And at times I think, how will I get money for those things? And at times I carry a heaviness thinking about those things. And the thought comes up, should I stop? Should I stop serving God the way I am? Should I stop going from place to place to place and sharing the good news? And then God heart, the Holy Spirit says, what do you mean stop? What are those things? And then you heard him say, may. And that means it's nothing. Those things are absolutely nothing. It's just the insignificant things of the ground that rot. If you're just concerned about the things of the ground that rot, and if you live for them, you will not receive the things that God has for you in heaven. So we work for the Lord. Yes, we experience difficulties on this earth in serving him. We may not have a lot, but our treasure is in heaven. And thinking about that, we continue working for him. Tremendous, you guys. Tsuduama is a guy that's got it together. He's not living for the things of this ground. He's living for eternity. He knows where his gold is being stored up, and it's not on this earth. My friends, 2,000 years ago, as the Lord Jesus Christ was going up into heaven, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. How are we doing? How are we doing? Under 2% in Thailand, 0% of 1.3 billion people in India. What does that do to you? Does it break your heart? And does it speak to you and say, we've got to do better? We've got to be about the job that God has got for us to do. And what about right around here? People that speak your language, people that you bump into day after day. As Paul said, are you pleading with them? Come back to God. You know what? A tremendous man of God died just very recently. His name was Billy Graham. And you know what? I can imagine when he went into the presence of the Lord, I imagine there were hundreds and hundreds that were there to welcome him and say, thank you, Billy. Thank you, Billy, for preaching the Word of God, for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, for challenging us to give our life to Christ. Are you pleading with the lost? Come back to God. Do you have a burden and a vision for taking the gospel to those who have never heard? If you haven't, I ask you, please get before God, because this is what's on the heart of God, is reaching the world, reaching those who have not yet heard. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight again for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for our salvation. Lord, we are so undeserving. We are so unworthy of it. But because the Lord Jesus Christ loved us, because he wanted a relationship with us, he died on the cross for our sins. He purchased us on the cross of Calvary so that we could have eternal life. And then, Father, he gave us a task. And that task was to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. And Lord, we confess that we're not doing a very good job at it, because there are still millions upon millions upon millions that do not know the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, break our hearts. Break our hearts. Give us a vision for reaching those who still do not know. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.